I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, best-selling author Cynthia Stamper Graft, is president and CEO of Lindora, the nation's largest medical-based weight loss program that has helped more than 750,000 people lose 15 million pounds during its 40-year history. 79% of these have kept off the weight. She has appeared on CNN, Good Morning America, The New York Times, The Los Angeles Times, Woman's Day, Redbook, etc., and is a leading authority on adult and child weight issues. She was the keynote speaker at the Obesity Society's annual scientific meeting, one of the largest gatherings of obesity professionals. Graft is the author of The New Lean for Life. Her first book sold more than 1 million copies. The new book was published by Harlequin Enterprise Limited and co-written by French research and clinician Reginald Alouche, M.D. It establishes the link between body, brain, and gut. The New Lean for Life is available at bookstores nationwide, Amazon.com and leanforlife.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Cynthia, and I look forward to hearing about the relationship between the body, brain, and gut, and weight loss. Now, your first book sold more than 1 million copies. And how is your latest book, The New Lean for Life, different from that book?
Well, thank you for having me on your show, Carl. And first of all, I should probably say how the new book is the same as the first book. The first Lean for Life, which was really the codification of the program for weight management that we've used at the Lindora Clinics, was published 17 years ago. And since that time, we've had the opportunity to see new strategies and what's working for patients and really the struggle to not just lose weight, but then maintain a healthy weight for long periods of time. So the New Lean for Life incorporates all the science that's come out in the last 10 years. And a lot of that science is around the fact that a fat cell is not just a depository. It's a very active organ, actually. Mm-hmm. And it interacts with the brain and with other body organs. So really, the New Lean for Life is about how to learn to make healthier choices about what we're eating, about how we're moving, and really about stress management. You know, when I first wrote Lean for Life 17 years ago, there were relaxation techniques in the book because our whole program's about really eat better, move more, and stress less. We used visualization techniques and a lot of things that were considered by the scientific community to be woo-woo science. But, you know, I guess we were cut some slack because we're located in California. So, you know, and if you fast forward, you know, a couple of decades, those techniques are very mainstream now.
Right.
And there is a realization that one's, let's call it lifestyle in its totality, is really has the biggest impact on one's health, not just for the moment or when one's dieting for, you know, 30 days or 3 months, but for their life, mm-hmm. for their health.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things we've worked with many hundreds of thousands of patients, actually, with a structured regimen of a nutritional intervention. It sounds like an intervention. Actually, if you looked back 50 years, it would be considered eating normally. Lean proteins, vegetables, fruits, but in small quantities.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that when our patients adopted this kind of eating style, they all of a sudden felt these bursts of energy and had rapid weight loss, which was exciting. You know, they would go, oh, wow, I'm feeling something. And there was a connection between what they were eating and how they were feeling. So that was reinforcing mm-hmm. in a very positive way. Then there were also the reinforcers of their friends or families noticing a change in weight,
mm-hmm.
Which could then be accompanied by, you know, a little more zip in their step because they were excited about making a positive change because this was happening, you know, pretty rapidly. So we thought, well, there's a benefit to having a nutritional intervention, or let's call it a diet for weight loss that achieves a fairly rapid weight loss, which gets people excited.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're excited, then we found that they were very open to learning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say learning, it's because if you're going to have any real change, then that requires not just doing something for a short period of time, but actually learning the reasons of why you should do it, what it is, and what the consequences or benefits of those actions will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really the basis of the Lean for Life program.
Mm-hmm.
That if we did something that gave our patients a pretty quick result, then we were able to, at the same time, teach. So we taught strategies about what was happening physiologically in their bodies, and we would work with them on psychology, you know, how they were thinking and feeling, things that our patients would first say, well, you know, I really don't want to go through this visualization exercise. Just tell me what to eat tomorrow morning. And we would say, we'll tell you what your choices are for eating tomorrow morning, and let's sit here and talk about this visualization exercise, because you're going to find at some point in time that you're going to encounter some stressors or situations that are uncomfortable for you. And we want to give you some tools for managing that discomfort. So let's visualize yourself at the company party, faced with a buffet table of lots of your favorite foods, and go through this step by step. And once you're there, then you will have been through it in your mind, and you'll know how to handle that situation. So pretty soon, we were hearing from patients that actually they loved that kind of strategy or introduction into different aspects of their lifestyle that they hadn't really realized affected their diets. All right.
Then your book emphasizes the relationship between body, brain, and gut. Can you tell us about this?
Well, when a person is overweight, it really means that their body and their brain and their gut are out of sync. The information that we've learned about the gut in the last few years has told us that, you know, it actually acts like a second brain in our body. So when we are eating and the food goes through the stomach and is digested and then into the intestines where the nutrients are taken out for the use of the body, there's a lot more happening down there than we had realized. There's a lot of signaling going on from the choices of food that go right back up to the brain. And that's why we have a saying that truly every meal matters because the food you're taking in is impacting so many systems in your body. Like that bowl of ice cream, you know, may have been really pleasurable to the brain temporarily, but it could be causing some dysfunction in the gut bacteria. And, you know, doing that over a period of time can actually change the whole microflora in a person's intestine, adding to obesity, other disease states. So it's, you know, we've learned that just overeating and gaining weight is has more of an impact on the body than just requiring a new pair of jeans at a bigger size, you know?
Then your book also suggests that the more fat and sugar you consume, the more your brain sabotages your craving. Can you tell us about this?
The brain loves sugar. In fact, you know, there are a lot of people that talk about sugar as an addictive substance, and there's a lot of merit to that line of thinking. In fact, studies with rats have shown certain rats would prefer sugar over cocaine because they got a stronger response in the brain. That being the case, the brain wants what it wants when it wants it, and it really doesn't care that your pancreas or liver or heart may be impacted negatively by the sugar or the fat that the brain is craving. So it's the, I guess it boils down to just getting back in balance. You know, that learning a little impulse control, which controls the brain, knowing that your gut craves vegetables and fiber, and feeding the gut what it needs and wants, even when your brain doesn't feel like it. That, you know, it gets pretty, it can be pretty complex thinking about all of our body systems. And then if you just make it simple and know that every meal matters and take the time to say, is this a healthy choice? You know, I have I'm pretty optimistic that people can learn to make healthier choices.
Great. Good. Then you also talk about inflammation, and we know that inflammation in the body leads to disease processes. And you talk about some of the foods that reduce inflammation in the body. Can you tell us about these?
Yeah, there's some simple foods. Kale is the big one these days. In fact, for Christmas, someone gave me a book called 50 Shades of Kale. It's a sexy green. So vegetables, greens, think lean proteins, some fruits, cherries, nuts. I didn't realize that the body has 62,000 miles of blood vessels. And the food that we eat within 1 hour can impact the lining of 62,000 miles of blood vessels. Right. And so knowing that you can mitigate some of the bad or not so great healthy choices by adding avocados and kale and leafy greens, that's an important choice.
Great. And then are there foods that should be avoided to remain healthy?
One can say that, you know, anything in moderation. However, knowing sugar can be addictive and inflammatory. So I would say I won't go so far as saying dairy or wheat, because that doesn't affect all people, but processed foods. If you did nothing more than just ate things that grew and avoided those things that are processed, that would be a good start.
Great, good. Then you have a healthy way to lose 20 pounds in 4 weeks. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, that's the basis of the Lean for Life program, and that is having lean proteins, fruits and vegetables, in about 1,000 calories a day, but so it's small portions combined with 30 minutes of walking, and getting a good 7 hours of sleep. We make it pretty structured so that the foods are salad, vegetable, a lean protein. And your keto stick, which is an indicator of whether the body is metabolizing fat. If one does that for 4 weeks, it's about a 20-pound weight loss. And through the process, every day there is something to be learned. There's an exercise for, here's one, the inner smile. You close your eyes, take a deep breath, and visualize a happy face. And that will have an immediate impact on your physiology. So actually what we'd like to do is try to make things pretty simple for people. Simple strategies that can be used throughout one's life. Something like we have Protein Monday, which is no matter what you're doing, overeaten on the weekends, you can get back on track by making Monday a protein day. Either eggs or lean protein or a protein bar. and skip the carbohydrates. Gives the body a chance to get back to balance utilizing excess carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
So
good.
We say that, you know, you don't just diet, you need to learn to be lean for life.
Mm-hmm. Then, Cynthia, would you tell us then about services, products, and how the listeners can reach you?
Oh, sure, Carl. Listeners can call us at 1-800-LINDORA. Our book, The New Lean for Life, is available on Amazon.com or on our website, leanforlife.com. We also have coaching services available for people outside of the California area, and programs for people in the trucking industry or law enforcement. Mm. So many ways to contact us, and we'd love to hear from your listeners.
Great. Would you then spell your website, the Lindora?
LINDORA.com.
Great. Good. Well, thank you very much, Cynthia. This has been interesting and will be helpful to the listeners who are interested in losing weight, which is most of the population, I believe.
That's an unfortunate truism.
Right. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
My second guest, Jessica Ortner, is co-producer of The Tapping Solution, the breakthrough documentary film on EFT Meridian Tapping, available at www.thetappingsolution.com. She has led more than 3,000 women through her revolutionary weight loss and body confidence online program, and she is also the host of the Tapping World Summit, an annual online event that has attracted more than 500,000 attendees from around the world. She has been interviewing experts in the personal development field since 2007, having conducted more than 200 broadcast interviews to date. Follow Jessica on Twitter at Jessica Ortner and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ following Jessica Ortner. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Jessica, and I look forward to hearing about tapping and weight loss.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm glad to have you here. Now, first you say that when we say, if only I could lose 10 pounds, then I will be happy, we rob ourselves of happiness. Can you explain this?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of us live in this weight loss trap where we create a really a jail for ourselves, and we put these limitations of, well, I'll allow myself to buy that dress, to date, to be happy when I begin to lose weight. And mm-hmm. so we feel like the only way to get ourselves to the goals that we want of losing weight is through self-criticism and punishment and holding ourselves back from experiencing pleasure. And what I have come to see again and again is that mentality is the very mentality that keeps people from going this back and forth between extreme dieting and binge eating and other self-sabotaging behaviors. And so one of the first things to begin to realize is that weight loss can be a pleasurable experience, and it needs to start by not letting ourselves use our body as an excuse to not feel good, to not step up in life. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people say, if I lose weight, I'll feel confident. But it's actually, we have it backwards. Once we feel confident in ourselves and our worthiness and our ability to experience joy and pleasure, then having a healthy, strong body becomes a pleasurable, fun, and easy experience.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, because we're looking outside for happiness, and happiness has to come from within, right?
Absolutely.
Then you also say that stress to lose weight makes us fat. Can you explain this?
Yeah, there's two main reasons. So first, let's talk about the science aspect of it. When we are stressed, we have an overproduction of a hormone called cortisol. Mm-hmm. And cortisol has been directly linked to abdominal fat. So here we are stressing about fitting into our genes, and that very anxiety and stress to lose weight is creating a hormonal concoction, which makes it very difficult for us to lose weight. Mm-hmm. We might be even eating right and exercising, but with this boatload of stress, it's this hormonal cocktail, which it's like taking a fat pill. You know, it's like taking a supplement, taking something that's making your hormones make it very difficult for you to begin to lose weight. So hormonally, you know, there's study after study showing the impact of stress on hormones and hormones impact our body and our weight. So on that side, stress is essential. But there's another side, which is the emotional side, the mental side. If we are stressed and anxious about losing weight, let's just talk about stress for a second.
Mm-hmm.
When we are stressed, we are not resourceful. We are not productive. We're not smart. You know, a lot of times we get the best ideas when we're in the shower because we are so relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are approaching weight loss with this panic mentality, which often leads us to make really silly decisions. You know, if we really calm down, we might realize, okay, this diet pill isn't working. This strict way of eating doesn't work for me. But when you're so stressed, you're not resourceful. And the third thing actually is that when we are so incredibly stressed, food becomes our anti-anxiety medication. So suddenly we begin to eat and we're able to feel calm, we're able to feel relaxed. And so for many people, food is the only way they have to unwind, the only way they have to feel good. And so if you are having a high level of stress and have no other way to relieve that stress, you will always turn to food as that medication for the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
If you can focus on the anxiety and relieve that anxiety, not only are you smarter and more resourceful, but you feel calm and centered, and it's easier to make the right choices.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. Then, can you tell us a stress relief technique that would help us go to the beach and be comfortable and happy in a swimsuit?
So you're asking me to teach you tapping?
Well, is that a stress technique that would help me if I, my 190 pounds,
yeah,
wanted to go to the beach and go in a swimsuit?
but this is the thing we have to realize, is that 90 pounds isn't preventing us from getting into a swimsuit and enjoying the beach. We're preventing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I say is, just for those who are listening, just realize, you know, you are older than you've ever been, but you're also younger than you're ever going to be. All we really have is this present moment. And if we continue to put limitations on what needs to happen for us to enjoy it, one day we may realize that we missed out on joy, on life, on excitement, because we didn't feel worthy enough to get into a bathing suit in the skin we're in. Yes, you can lose weight. Yes, you can begin to nourish your body and have more strength, but it's the reason you're doing something is to get into that bathing suit to go to the beach. What you have to realize is the weight actually isn't the problem. The problem is that we're constantly denying ourselves joy and pleasure for fear of what other people will think and our own self-criticism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're beginning to sound like Louise Hay, and so I assume I'm going to hear some affirmations shortly.
Well, actually, tapping is, when you start to do tapping, it's actually the opposite of affirmations. What you really want to do is allow yourself to give a voice to the anger, to the frustration you feel around trying so hard and not being able to lose weight,
mm-hmm,
around, you know, the stress and the self-judgment. We actually want to really take time to honor how we feel. And, you know, for those who are listening and they're hearing me say tapping and they have no idea what I'm talking about, it's not tap dancing. It's actually an incredible stress relief technique where you use your fingers to tap on different meridian points.
Mm.
Because when we have a stress, whether it's stressing about getting into that bathing suit or it's stress over maybe something, a challenge with our children or a challenge at work, what happens is there's a part of our brain called the amygdala, part of the reptilian brain, and it begins to fire off this fight or flight response. Suddenly, we have an overproduction of cortisol. We have adrenaline rushing through our body. Our heartbeat begins to race. And we begin to realize that stress isn't an experience that we just have in our head. We feel it in our whole body. We feel that pressure in our stomach or in our chest or even in our back. And so what we do with the tapping is we get very clear on the very thought that we are having that's creating that physical response of stress. And as you focus and get very clear on the problem, you begin to tap on these acupressure points.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these acupressure points are points that your listeners might be using right now and not even know it. Now, have you ever noticed that when someone's stressed, they might put their hands, you know, near the bridge of their nose or on their chest or at their temple?
Mm-hmm.
These are all meridian points. And so as you begin to stimulate these points while focusing on your stress, it sends a calming signal from your body to your brain, letting your brain know that it is safe for your body to relax. And when we relax, we can have the same negative thought, but without the physical anxiety. And when we don't have the physical anxiety, that's when we really have power.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we're creative, we're resourceful, we know what's right for us.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is we get hijacked by this physical response of stress. And so by tapping on these acupressure points while focusing on the stress, you're able to relieve that, get rid of that association and relieve that stress.
Mm-hmm. And how do you connect that then with weight loss?
The same way that we talked about how stress impacts weight loss. If you don't have a healthy way to approach stress, suddenly your anti-anxiety medication is that muffin. If you are stressed all the time and you're not dealing with the physical consequences of stress, you have a hormonal concoction which makes it difficult to lose weight and actually makes you gain belly fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then how quickly does one start losing weight with tapping?
Well, it depends on the person, like anything. So at first, you might have to do some of the emotional work and not see, start with the emotional work and notice how you begin to feel differently. And notice, because, listen, let's be realistic. We have to eat well and we have to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But starving ourselves and putting pressure on ourselves or working out of a hatred for our body hasn't worked before. If you've done the diets before, if you've done the exercise plans and nothing works, we have to take a whole different approach to how we're viewing our relationship with our body,
mm-hmm.
our relationship with exercise, and our relationship with food. And so in my book, The Tapping Solutions for Weight Loss and Body Confidence, I really break that down. So we start by looking at food, and we go, okay, let's begin to notice what cravings we have and when do we feel those cravings. So to share a story and an example of how this works,
mm-hmm.
I was doing a workshop in London, and I had some chocolate, and it was right before lunch, and I opened it up and had everyone look at it, and I asked who had a craving for this chocolate, and more than half the room raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I picked three random participants who came up, three women, and we began to tap while really focusing on the craving, because for many people who suffer with cravings, they know that it's not something in our head. It's a very physical reaction. You really want that food.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began to tap on this craving and just focusing on the craving. And what we found was for everyone's number went down. So what we do is we ask someone on a scale of 1 to 10, how strong is your craving? And all of them were 10.
Mm-hmm.
After the first round, one woman completely got over her craving. Two women still had cravings, but it had gone from a 10 to, I think it was like a 7 and a 5. So then we get more specific, and we talk about when we need that food, the feelings that we have, so where we feel it in our body. And one woman was very specific. She felt it in her heart. And we began to tap, and as we tapped, her eyes became really wide. And when I checked in with her, she told me, the craving went away, but I had a big realization. She said that when she realized the craving was in her chest and she began to tap, she remembered that what her grandmother, every time she would see her grandmother would give her a piece of chocolate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when she felt lonely and missed her grandmother, her mind went to the chocolate. So for her, the focus was tapping on that loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And when she focused on the loneliness, the craving went away.
Mm-hmm.
The third woman was left, and after we did a lot of tapping, she said that she was at a zero as well. She had no craving. So I thought, victory, this is great. And then all of a sudden, in front of hundreds of people, she says to me, but I still want it. I said, what do you mean you still want the chocolate? The craving's gone. And she said, I know, I don't have the physical craving, but I still want to eat it. So I asked her, when do you usually eat chocolate? And she said, when I get home from work. And I said, what would happen if you didn't have that chocolate? And she responded with, I would have no way to relax.
Mm.
So we began to focus our tapping on the anxiety and the stress she felt around work.
Mm-hmm.
And the guilt she felt around relaxing and taking a break and taking care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of us, especially women, we want to nurture everyone. We're constantly on the go. And taking care of ourselves feels guilty. So the only time we allow ourselves any kind of pleasure is through that chocolate. So this is kind of the inner work, and tapping is a tool. So to answer the question, everybody is different. There are some women who lose weight drastically because they've overcome their craving. There's others who do some more work, and then something else comes up, and then they have their big breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
When we're able to deal with the emotional aspect, then the behaviors we need to have in order to lose weight become easier, because we take care of what we value. And a lot of us don't value ourselves, and we don't value our own body.
Mm-hmm.
So by looking at the emotional blocks, it becomes much more easier and even pleasurable to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, you have written a book about tapping and weight loss. Will tapping work for other conditions?
Absolutely. So tapping works with stress. Stress impacts weight. It impacts pain relief. It impacts relationships. It impacts our relationship with money. You know, stress is really the one thing that can get in our way in every area of our life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you deal with the stress, you'll see improvements in every aspect of your life. So that's why, you know, a lot of times people have such great results with tapping, and then someone becomes skeptical. They think, well, how is it that one tool can work with so many different things?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that tapping works with so many different things. It's that tapping helps lower your stress. And when you lower your stress, you're able to really find solutions and to heal many different aspects of your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Jessica, we're going to back up a little bit. What is rebellious eating?
Yeah, that's a great question, and something that a lot of people relate to once I explain what it is. So let me explain what it is through a story. I was working with a client who was having a lot of success, and she was losing weight, and she was feeling great about herself. And it was the 4th of July, you know, a holiday in the United States, and she went over to her father's house, and we had a session, and we called each other, and I was doing a tapping session with her over the phone, and she picked up the phone whispering, and she said, I have to whisper because my dad's in the other room. But Jeff, I feel like I have ruined all my progress. I'm here. It's the holidays. I'm eating everything.
Mm-hmm.
So she was blaming her situation on the holidays. But I said, wait a second. You made so much progress. What is really going on? Did something happen right before you began to eat? And suddenly she went, oh. And she told me that when she got to her father's house, she began to explain the success that she was having with tapping,
mm-hmm.
and how great she felt and the work that we were doing together. And her dad said to her, good, it would be good for you to lose some weight.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, we'll call up my client Rebecca. Rebecca was so angry because that comment mm-hmm. made her feel that her father wouldn't love her enough unless she had lost weight. And
mm-hmm.
suddenly the pressure from her father, the pressure from society to lose weight became too much. And she said, you know what? If you won't love me the way that I am, then I'm just going to do whatever I want. And I'm going to eat whatever I want. And I'm not going to lose weight. Because if I lose weight, then I prove you right.
Mm-hmm.
So that is called rebellious eating. That's an example of rebellious eating. Rebellious eating can be we're on this strict diet and all of a sudden we get so exhausted by the pressure that we rebel and we begin to eat whatever we want. And in that moment, it feels liberating because we think, I don't care about the scale. I don't care what other people think. I'm going to do what I want. And there we are eating an entire pie of something.
Mm-hmm.
But what we don't realize in that moment is, you know, and we realize it a little bit later on, is although it feels slightly liberating to rebel, it's only hurting ourselves. It's hurting our health. And so that is why weight is such a complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the weight. The weight is a symptom of something else.
Mm-hmm.
And our relationship with our body is a symptom of something else. And so I, you know, invite everyone to begin to be aware of how they eat. Are they angry when they eat? Do they feel like they start a diet and then they get tired of it and they rebel by eating way more than they were eating before?
Mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
who struggle with weight and have a diet mentality tend to go from one extreme to another, from binge eating to a very strict diet, right back to eating in a way that's very excessive.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that is this, what I call rebellious eating.
Mm-hmm. Great. And I'd like that chocolate right now.
Well, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with wanting chocolate. The difference is you want to feel like you're in control. It's okay mm-hmm. to say, I would like some chocolate and know that you can have a piece without guilt and feeling controlled. But for many people, they don't feel like they have control over their craving.
Mm-hmm.
And they do things in a way that's so excessive that it begins to hurt them.
Right.
I love chocolate, and mm-hmm. I would never tell anyone to cut it out of their life.
Mm-hmm. My friends in Germany sent me a box of German cookies and candy. Well, it's cookies, I think, every Christmas. And I try not to eat carbohydrate, the simple. And so I put it in the freezer, and I pull out a piece every once in a while during the year if I want something sweet, because the German things aren't as sweet as American. And so it will last me the whole year. But the other thing I discovered is that the Germans do not have genetically modified foods, and I developed allergies, food allergies to wheat, rye, barley, oats. But I can eat the German cookies with wheat in because they don't have genetically modified foods. So I suspect that a lot of our problem with food allergies is the genetically modifying.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more that you're in your body and not having this anxiety and the stress, you can begin to notice the different ways that food impacts mm-hmm. you and mm-hmm. what type of food impacts you. And you can easily make better decisions.
Right, right. So is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your services, products, and how the listeners can reach you?
Yeah, I would just say to those who struggle with their weight that the struggle with weight is an opportunity to look deeper. And we have to stop putting our lives on hold, putting our happiness on hold. Because the more that we're able to relieve stress, to feel joy in the body that we're in, the better results we're going to get. And I know that that is a very different message than what culture has been telling you. Culture has mm-hmm. been telling you, you need to work hard, you need to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But the working hard and the suffer mentality is the very thing that exhausts you and brings you back to the food.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really time to take a very drastic approach. And that's really what I hope to help people with my book.
Mm-hmm, great. Then, Jessica, would you tell us about your book and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Absolutely. My book is called The Tapping Solution for Weight Loss and Body Confidence. It's, I'm grateful to say it's a New York Times bestseller, and you can buy it wherever books are sold. And my website is thetappingsolution.com. So if you go to thetappingsolution.com, you can actually download a free CD, which teaches you how to tap and brings you through a tapping meditation. And to reach me, the best way is to connect with me through Facebook. It's facebook.com/followingJessicaOrtner.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I appreciate this very much. It's interesting. Will be helpful to the listeners. I have, I think, about 4 interviews on weight loss, so I will be putting those together and sort of probably be two different programs on weight loss. So I think it's they'll get different points of view. So thank you
very
much.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, and thank you very much again for having me. It was a real joy.
Thank you. In the time remaining today, I would like to tell you about my experience with lung cancer 40 years ago this month, when given 6 months to live by traditional medicine, and as a result, I chose to use all natural interventions. My objective for this is to make you aware that there are natural interventions that are less invasive, less toxic, that you can use when faced with a cancer diagnosis. My cancer journey started when I had a dream that told me to go for a chest X-ray. I believe in my dreams and I pay attention to them because I believe that God speaks with us through our dreams if we listen. I approached my doctor and asked for an X-ray because at that time it was required that all referrals be through your primary doctor. After convincing him that it was important to me to have an X-ray, he referred me. The X-ray came back with a spot that had not been there previously, and the doctor asked me to go for a biopsy. The biopsy came back positive, and the doctor told me I had lung cancer, and without chemo and surgery, I would be dead in 6 months. I told the doctor that I would go home, I would pray about it, and make a rational decision, and then I would return and let him know what I had decided. The process of making a decision involved watching my dreams with my friend Ursula, who had agreed to help me, praying for guidance, and also Ursula suggested a psychic reading, which I had. And when we compared everything, it was very clear that I should use a natural approach to treatment. My friend Ursula knew of a physician in Northern Virginia who had been very successful working at the National Cancer Institute using Laetril. Because he was so successful, he was closed down, and this brave physician continued treating people in his own office, but I had to sign forms that I would not report him. Unfortunately, within 5 years after my treatment, this brave physician was brought before the Virginia Medical Association, and his license was taken. I do not know what has happened to him since. I visited the alternative physician in Northern Virginia who examined me and prescribed a physical regime for treatment. This included Laetril 2,000 milligram daily. I also took pancreatic enzymes, Wobimogus, which are very important because they soften the shells of the cancer cells and make them easier for the Laetril to work. I also took zinc, which facilitates the carrying of the Laetril to the cancer cells. I took high-dose vitamin A, starting with 300,000 international units, then 200,000 international units, and then 50,000 international units for 1 year, and the recommended daily dose is 5,000 international units. This is a fat-soluble vitamin, so I was concerned because this would be stored in my body if not used. The doctor told me it was very important and that he would give me high-dose vitamin E, another fat-soluble vitamin, that would help with the toxicity of the vitamin A. My doctor told me that the high-dose vitamin A would keep the normal cells from converting to cancer cells. Within the last 3 months, I have seen research that confirmed that this was true. In addition, I took other vitamin Bs, I took high-dose vitamin C, I took a variety of herbs, including bromelain, comfrey pepsin, and others. The doctor also prescribed a vegan-type diet in which I could eat fruit, vegetables, grains, and nuts, but no protein, no simple carbohydrate. I did take a capsule called AG Pro that would ensure that I did not have a protein deficiency. The theory of the Laetril is that our body is deficient vitamin B17, and that the Laetril or vitamin B17 will overcome the cancer by meeting this nutritional deficiency. Being a nurse and interested in holistic health, I added a variety of mental and spiritual interventions. I included prayer, meditation, visualization, affirmations. I tried to serve others. I tried to be more patient, more forgiving, more loving, etc. Research has also shown that these are very important, that being optimistic, having faith, believing in something beyond ourselves, helping others, etc., all have a positive effect on overcoming illness and on longevity. Thus, a holistic approach to treating and curing lung cancer consists of the following six categories. First was the physical aspect that included diet, exercise, vitamins, Laetril, apricot kernels, smoking cessation, detoxing, and maintaining alkalinity. Second, the mental aspects, which are meditation, visualization, relaxation, affirmations, remaining positive, replacing negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Spiritual aspects included faith in a higher being, strengthening patience, faith, and forgiveness, being of service to others, emotional support from family, friends, being on a church prayer list, psychic healing prayers, and my own prayers. The environmental aspects, including a smoke-free environment, no pesticides, no mold, radon, asbestos, or other chemicals in the environment, air the house out when possible, and have the house checked for radon and asbestos that are causal factors of lung cancer. Relationship aspects included maintaining friendship with students, colleagues, friends, and family, and receiving support from them. And political aspects that affect all health and illness included being active in publishing and lecturing about complementary alternative approaches to cancer, being active in professional organizations to help bring about change in healthcare, including complementary healthcare, and the available of care for all people. I went to my doctor every 6 months for x-rays to determine the progress of the cancer. I did not tell my doctor I was doing anything, and so he thought we were in a wait-and-see mode. After 2 years, the spot was gone, and the doctor said he guessed he had made the wrong diagnosis. My friend, who was professor of pediatrics at Duke when I taught there, and at this point is the medical director for Blue Cross Blue Shield for North Carolina, asked to see all of the x-rays, the lab reports, etc. I took them to North Carolina, and he confirmed that it had definitely been lung cancer. Since overcoming cancer 38 years ago, I have followed a lifestyle that was very similar to that I used when I had lung cancer. I have added some chicken and some fish to my daily diet, but otherwise it remains basically the same. I continue with my prayer, my affirmations, my visualization, my daily exercise, etc. This has been a healthy lifestyle, and so I reached 81 with no known chronic illnesses and no prescribed medications, whereas the average for a 75-year-old is 3 chronic illnesses and 5 prescribed medications, and only 11% of those over 65 are free of chronic illnesses. I try to avoid chemicals in my life, and so when the doctor makes a diagnosis of a minor health problem, such as diverticulitis, I find something that I can use that is natural. For example, I used aloe vera, which cleared up the diverticulitis, and made it possible for me to eat berries and nuts, which my doctor told me I would never do again. I believe in using all resources that are available, and this may mean calling on my angels to help me. It may mean consulting a medical intuitive, or it may mean consulting a natural alternative physician or some other type of healer. I hope this information will be useful to you, so that if you are faced with a cancer diagnosis, you will know that there are alternatives to chemo, surgery, and radiation, which your doctor may not discuss with you. But it is always your choice what you use as your treatment. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.